Burnout in sales is real. It's one of the things that nobody really wants to talk about for whatever reason. When you know what allows you to close and when you know what causes you to not close deals, you're a much better salesperson. Knowing when you're burned out and how you get burned out, that's one of the keys to becoming a closer or staying a closer.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Coming to you live from my office, sitting on the couch, figured talk about burnout in sales today. And there's a lot of times where, you know, the good is talked about in sales, the bad is and the ugly, nobody wants to talk about it. And today, this is what I'm going to refer to as one of those asbestos underwear type days that, you know, sometimes people get their feelings hurt and they get emotional about stuff. And, you know, that's cool. But, you know, one of the things that you're going to find is I don't really get pinned down under what people tell me I can and can't do. I want to give you the real content. I want to give you the real deal of what I see and what I've learned from working with salespeople for over a decade and the common problems that I see. Nobody wants to talk about it, but you know, like salespeople do get burned out. There is a point of meeting with buyers and giving presentations and talking with people and dealing with objections and dealing with coworkers and dealing with management and owners where it's like, you know what? I've had my Popeye moment. It's all I can stand. I can't stand anymore. And, you know, peace out, Girl Scout. I'm done. And if you don't recognize where you're at, what ends up happening is you start taking this out on family members, on coworkers, and on your buyers, on your potential clients. And this is one of the worst things to do because, like, if you take it out on family members, that's your support. If you take it out on the office, people are going to be like, oh, that sales guy's a jerk and I don't like him and I don't want to help him. And if you take it out on clients, they don't want to buy anything from you. So you really do have to pay attention to this. You know, I see salespeople and I talk to them and I'll say like, hey, look, you know, it seems like you're burned out. And it's almost like they're playing a video game and they have to get every point and every deal is going to be that one golden deal. And the thing to remember is there's always another deal in sales. Unless you're talking about huge, huge things that people buy occasionally, like there's always another deal. There's always another buyer out there. And this is the one thing that you have to realize that sometimes buyers understand this too, is just because you're having a special today doesn't mean there's not going to be a special tomorrow. And if you're working for a company that advertises or you've got a good sales funnel going, you know, you could keep finding buyers. You could keep finding clients. You're going to be okay. One of the things that I see salespeople really struggle with is they look at other people's goals. And I'm going to give you my example. You know, I really like to go out to Oahu every 3 months. And I've done that for the last 15 years. And so if someone said, hey, Scott, we really want you to come be part of our organization, it would be very tough for me to peel away from going to Oahu 4 times a year. I'm very fortunate that I have family there. And the amount that I spend on 4 trips is what the average person spends on 1. So for me, it's like a 4-in-1 situation. You know, it's not me saying, hey, look at me, I'm so fantastic. I mean, I use mileage to get over there. I know when to buy tickets when they're inexpensive. I know when to get rental cars when they're inexpensive. It's not me saying, hey, look, you know, I'm being super flashy. I'm saying, hey, it costs me the same amount for 4 trips as it does for the average person to take 1 because I don't have to get a hotel. I don't really have to worry about, you know, taking a bunch of baggage over. I got stuff at the house with the family. And the reason I bring that up is my goals aren't your goals. You may look at it and go, I don't want to go to Hawaii. That's not anywhere I want to go. And that's exactly the point. You know, before my dad passed away, there's a lot of things that I thought were cool. I'm like, you know, it'd be amazing to have an exotic sports car, Ferrari, Lamborghini, McLaren. And now it just doesn't appeal to me. It's not anything that I want to do. You know, I've got different coaches and different mentors that I had, you know, 5 years ago. I'm with a different crowd at this point in my life. You know, I'm working a huge deal right now personally that would really significantly change what my goals are. And there is a huge potential of me going back to wearing a suit and tie and being on a stage every day. And I'm like, that excites me. For some people, they freak out and they're like, I'm not interested in that. And the reason why I really want to push this and say, hey, look, your goals aren't my goals and my goals aren't your goals. And when you start chasing my goals, like, you really don't have buy-in. It doesn't feel right. It can lead to burnout. The key to this is for you is to look for your small wins, your medium wins, and your big wins, and you celebrate them. You know, it may be that you're like, hey, I made 50 grand a year, 50 grand last year, and that was more than I made the year before. Hey, freaking congratulations for you. And I mean that in the most genuine way. It could be that you made 100 grand last year and you're pushing to do 200 this year. Hey, congratulations, keep going. It could be that you made $1 million and, you know, tomorrow or next year you want to make 2 million. Cool, that's your goal. That's not my goal. I'll celebrate with you. I'll give you the high five. I will encourage you all day long to do the right thing and to be excited about something you have going on in your life. But like when I have people tell me this is what you should do, I'm like, nope, not my goal. Not my goal. I'm not interested. You know, the second that I adopt somebody else's goal, it takes me off my path of what I really want to do. There's things that I want to have done in the next 5-6 years, right? Those are my goals. My goal in the next 5 to 6 years is to move to Oahu, and I got a pretty cool plan for that. There's things that I want to do out there on the island. But like I said, like my goal can't be yours. Yours could be like, I want to move to Montana, or I want to buy a house that's this big. Like, congratulations. Awesome. Keep going. You could do it. When you take a look at it, part of what comes down to burnout in sales is your health. And there is a bunch that goes into this. Part of it's diet. Part of it is how you eat. Now, a lot of salespeople, especially if you're on the road, it's really easy to go through a drive-through, and it takes a lot of meal planning. I'm a single dude. I don't have somebody to be like, hey, you know, honey, can you help cook tonight and I'll cook tomorrow? Like, it's all on me. If I want to eat something 5 days in a row, if I want to have cold cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, health really does matter. And we are judged by the way that people look at us. I'm probably the heaviest that I've been, I don't know, probably in the last 10 years. And it bothers me because it's like instant judgment of like, hey, here's this guy. Scott's overweight. Oh, that means he's lazy. So I have to actually work harder in deals, believe it or not. You know, I do. Like when I meet with buyers, they're like, oh, you've got no self-control. Well, yeah, you know, I love food. I could care less about anything else. I'll eat the food. Some of it's exercise. You know, I know if I don't get up at 4:30 in the morning and go exercise, I'm just not going to get it done. And, you know, I would much rather sleep than go to the gym. That's just the real deal. But in order to be healthy, I got to go work out, drinking tons of water. You know, it's crazy. It's easier to find soda and drinks that are not good for you than it is to find good, clean water. And so this could be a fight. Like when you're hydrated, you actually perform better. You can look up all the science on that. I really don't care the brand of water or the pH, but just go drink some water. 5, work your schedule. You know, this comes down to knowing when you should work and when you shouldn't work. And sometimes when you work for companies, they don't allow you to pick your schedule. This is why you got to learn how to close, because then you can make some demands and say, I don't want to work on Friday mornings. Or you can make some demands and say, I'm not going to work weekends. You know what? I'll close all the deals you want Monday through Friday, but what I'm not going to do is work Saturday or Sunday. And that's not ideal. And not everybody gets that treatment. I get it. I'm giving you an example of a way to avoid burnout. You know, and know when you're willing to work through some of those times and when you're not. You know, there's times where I know I'm fantastic, and there's times where I know I'm going to be able to give 110%, and there's times where I know that I'm going to give 50%. I had to do a presentation the day after my father passed away, and I couldn't get out of it. There wasn't a way for me to walk away from it. I was not at my best. I was probably at 10% that day, but I gave it everything that I had. For what I had. This one's going to sound weird, is having friends outside of the industry. I recently did an interview with Dr. Sean Davis, and he's a marriage and family therapy counselor, doctor of taking care of people's needs. And we were talking about a study, and he said that, you know, people who are in high stress jobs or jobs that get a lot of adoration, the more that they hang around people in their industry, the tougher it is on them because they never get away from talking about work. And so if you have people who have nothing to do with sales and nothing to do with business and, you know, just have a regular job, sometimes those are the people that you really need to hang out with to make things easier. On this list, stay away from toxic people. Run from toxic people. Do everything you can to avoid toxic people. Toxic people will tear you down, take you down. You might as well just hand over money to them because they're going to take it from you from being around them. Everybody's got negative people in their life. If you're married to them or their family, I'm sorry. You know, you got to figure something out. I'm not telling you to get a divorce. I'm not telling you to break up. But toxic people will ruin deals. I know this dude, Mitch. And Mitch told his wife, he said, look, if I'm out in the field selling, don't call me. I can't fix anything for you anyway. Let me go close deals. And whatever the problem is, I'll deal with it when I get home. And literally his house caught on fire. You know, the wife called 911 before she called him. He got home and he said, what happened here? She said, the house caught on fire. And he said, hey, thanks for not calling me. I closed two deals today. On this list, if you have a significant other, it's really easy for sales to ignore that person and not give them enough attention. And attention could be conversations, attention could be physical, but you know, it is easy to overwork yourself chasing goals, chasing dreams, chasing ideas, and not setting aside time. You know, I had really good mentors and role models. My mom and dad, no matter where they were in life and no matter what was going on, they always spent Friday night together. When I was a kid, like my parents left. They would find a babysitter and my parents would go do something. And I take that to heart every time I think about, like, you know, if I have a relationship or I'm in a relationship, I have to spend time with my significant other or somebody else is going to find some time to spend with them. Laughter is the best medicine. I know that every time I start getting down on myself or struggling, the first thing I do is I look for some Mitch Hedberg CDs. And too bad he passed away because he was an amazing comedian. But that's my go-to if I'm struggling. I'm like, I got to find some comedy. I got to get some laugh. And you know, that my list may not be your list. Laughter may not be the thing that you're like, oh, I'm not a big fan of Mitch Hedberg. I was gonna say Mitch Fatel. He's a funny comedian too. But you know, you gotta find your thing. If it's not laughter for you and it's not gym for you, find something else. 10, pick up a hobby. Doing your hobby allows you to walk away from talking about sales, being in sales, and put your mind on something else. You know, I know a guy who's really into trains, like locomotives. Grown dude, really into locomotives. He could tell you about the lines, the gauges of the train track, the type of trains, the motors, the horsepower, how much steam, the year that they were built. And this dude's a straight closer. But he could talk to you about trains all day long. He's got other things outside of sales. What's your hobby? 11, know when to take vacation. You got to know when you're good and when you're not good. You know, at about 90 days, I start getting the itch like I really got to go back to Hawaii. I mean, I've been conditioned for it. You have your own version of whatever Hawaii is. For you, it could be Florida. I don't know. It could be Brazil. It could be Italy. But you got to take some vacation. It could be camping out, you know, 100 miles from where you live. But that vacation is a chance for you to get away. And I've been using more and more this feature on my phone, airplane mode. And one of the cool things about airplane mode is you turn it on and nobody can bother you. And what I've started to do is just check my phone it started every 2 hours and now I do it every 4 hours. But I figure, you know, if something happens within 4 hours, I'm still pretty good. There's not really an emergencies that I really can't deal with. Getting used to not having people have access to you all the time. Number 12 on this list, get a therapist, you know, go see a doctor, have a coach, have a mentor, you know, have somebody to talk to get things off your chest. Now, one of the closes, and I'm going to give you a secret here, okay? I'm going to let you in on a secret. One of the closes that I've been working closely with somebody on is what I call the first 48 close. And what this is when you watch the first 48, the detectives will go in and they will go into an interrogation and they'll talk to somebody who they think committed a crime. And the close goes something like this. Hey, you know, once you tell me what's really going on or what really happened, and once you get it off your chest, you're going to feel better. And in turn, I could do something to help you. Okay, that's just the rough version. And I'm not saying I'm the only person that's ever used it, but it is something that I've been really working on a lot with one of the guys that I coach. And he's had really good luck with it. And there's something about getting something off of your chest. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. There's something about getting something off of your chest that instantly makes you feel better. And when you watch the first 48, there are signs of body language that when somebody gets something off their chest, their physiology changes. And the same thing happens for you when you're like, oh, there's something that really bothers me. I'm finally able to get it off my chest. Even if you said it out loud. So I'm a big fan of there's something weird going on in my life. I say it. I point it out. I say it out loud. There's a place here in Sacramento out by the river that I like to go hang out by a tree. And like if I'm struggling, if I'm having a bad day, I'll go drive out there. It takes me about 30 minutes to get out there, and I'll talk to myself. I'll just say stuff to get it off my chest. Not all the time do I have access to the therapist that I like to go see. And not all the time do I want to tell people specifically about problems that are going on. But gosh darn it, I get those things off my chest and I say what needs to be said. Your abilities to deal with the elements of burnout and sales gets you that much closer to closing another deal. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.